Marcia gave you already a wonderful introduction to our scripture text today, but in case you didn't catch all the details there, this story occurs at the very end of the Gospel of John, the final chapter. What has already occurred beforehand is Jesus' arrest and trial and crucifixion, in the midst of which is Peter's threefold denial. And then Jesus has been raised from the dead on Easter. A few appearances of Jesus have been recounted in the gospel, and this is the final time that he appears to his disciples. Before our text picks up today, we find out that Peter has led the rest of the disciples to go out on a fishing boat and fish to try to make sense of, or probably to get away from all the senselessness of the recent days. And while they're fishing, Jesus calls to them from the shore. Peter, in the most Forrest Gump movie of the Gospels, Forrest Gump moment, Peter jumps off the boat and swims to the shore to get to Jesus as fast as he can, leaving the other disciples to have to pull the boat in and get everything taken care of, haul in the great catch that they have made. And then, when they're all ashore, our story picks up from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us break bread together on our knees. As a beautiful old African-American spiritual sings, let us break bread together on our knees. We don't come to this table most of the time full of confidence and joy of how great everything in the world is going. More often than not, we come to this table on our knees because of all that is going on in the world around us, all that we have endured, all that we may fear for, even in the midst of our hopes. We come to the table on our knees. There's a lot these days that brings us to our knees, isn't there? Just 2 weeks ago,
It was Easter morning,
the day of resurrection, our triumphant holy day. And for many of us, our days began with hearing news reports from our brothers and sisters around the globe. Bombings in churches in Sri Lanka. 250 people killed on Easter morning. Going to worship the risen Lord and falling victim to attacks of terror. Brings us to our knees. And certainly those who perpetuate such acts and those who respond and over-respond throughout the centuries, there's a lot of blame to go around on all sides. None of us have a crystal clear track record when it comes to how we deal with one another. In response to such acts of violence and the twisted evil that leads to such acts of violence, we see the worst in one another. We judge individuals and we judge whole groups of people by the worst mistake they've ever made. Unable to move beyond. Certainly unable to forgive. And yet the message of Easter, the message of this table, seems to call us to something more, to something different in light of the resurrection. Our story today comes to us, as we heard from the Gospel of John, after Jesus' resurrection. If you go through those resurrection appearances, you see that later that night, Easter night, Jesus appears to his disciples. All of them are there except for one, Thomas, who's missing. So Jesus comes back a week later, on the second week, to welcome him in, doubting Thomas. And then some undisclosed period of time passes before this story picks up. So I would guess it's probably about 2 weeks after Easter. About now. About 2 weeks after Easter. About the time we find ourselves in this very day. Remembering the goodness of that message and yet also seeing that it doesn't seem that the whole world has changed overnight, that there's still much to bring us to our knees. But to make sense of this story, as Marcia reminded us in the children's message, first we have to go back a couple weeks to a story that occurred before. Let your mind's eye picture the scene. It's a dark night. There's a chill on the air, cold enough to make a lonely, downcast man huddle up with some complete strangers around a fire. Not just any fire, but the Gospel of John goes out of its way to point out it's a charcoal fire. Around a charcoal fire that night. For this lonely, downcast man, it's been a horrible few hours. The evening started when he and his best friends gathered around a table in an upper room to share a meal together with their friend, their teacher, their rabbi. And while they were eating the meal, he kept talking on and on and on about betrayal, about the fact that they would turn their backs on him, that he would die. And they left that table, they left that upper room that very night. They went out into a garden where the police and soldiers came and arrested him, their Lord. They hauled him away to a jail cell from the garden, and the rest of his friends just scattered in fear. With his master locked up, Peter finds himself now sitting here in the darkness by a charcoal fire when someone speaks up. Hey, aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of those weirdos that came to town this week, prancing around with that Jesus fellow, the one everyone's calling the Messiah. Aren't you one of his people? Who, me? No, you've got the wrong guy. I don't even know who you're talking about. Peter denies that he even knows Jesus. Not once, not twice, three times in the darkness of the night. And then it's more than just the smoke from the fire that causes him to tear up. The grief over what has happened and of his own denial is too much to bear. And so he runs away from that fire in tears. We know those tears far too well, don't we? They're the tears that we shed at night or that we hold at bay in the day. The tears for all that is not as it should be within us, all our sin and brokenness, all around us in the destructive, chaotic, death-dealing forces of the world. Tears for churches bombed on Easter around the globe. Churches bombed throughout the centuries, throughout the decades. Some here in our own lands, when beloved children would die because their parents were seeking a better life. Right here in our own state, in Birmingham, in the name of Christ, churches being bombed. We know Peter's tears in the depth of our souls. And we wish we could just run away from those fires. But now 2 weeks have passed. Now a new creation has begun. Now the kingdom of God has begun in just the tiniest sense, because Christ has been raised from the dead. Now Jesus is standing on the shore of a lake. Now he calls the fishermen off the boat after a long night to come and gather for breakfast. It's no longer dark. The first lights of the new dawn have broken in, not just on that day, but the new dawn of creation. And on the shore, there Jesus stands by a fire. Not just any fire, a charcoal fire. I missed that detail, by the way, for years and years, until Kendall Dexter pointed it out to me. Anytime fish show up in Scripture, he's paying attention. A charcoal fire, again, that Jesus invites him to come stand next to. Another fire, another meal, another chance. And they break the bread, just like they did on that night long ago. But this time there's fish to be served as well on Peter's second chance. Jesus asks him, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" Words that have echoed throughout the ages and that echo in our own hearts as well for some of us in this very church. Especially some of us in the choir, remembering our beloved Mike Ballou, who sang these words in a solo so beautifully. "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me," Jesus says in response. Three denials. And now three invitations to love. Peter is redeemed. Let's be very clear here. Peter doesn't redeem himself. Like that scene from Dumb and Dumber. He doesn't go and completely redeem himself. No, he is redeemed. Not by what he says, but by what Christ has already done for him once and for all. Peter is redeemed, and this conversation is Jesus walking him through what that means. How his past is now changed and how his future now has a direction. The same is the case with us. We are redeemed already before we're even asked. Do you love me? Follow me. But here's the thing about the resurrection. Here's the thing that this innocent little meal on the seashore is trying to tell us. It's not just that Peter is redeemed. It's not just that each and every one of us as individuals are redeemed. But that all creation is gathered back in together. All creation is healed. All the destructive and death-dealing forces are put at bay in this feast of redemption. As the little footnote hinted at it on the cover of your bulletin, there's a character or figure in the Old Testament, Leviathan, the great mythical sea monster of the deep, the personification of all the destructive and chaotic forces of death. For the ancient Hebrews, Leviathan was sort of the way we think about hurricanes, beyond the ability to control, and yet they are part of creation, but that lead to death and destruction, chaos and disorder. We're rooted in pages of Scripture and in other ancient Jewish hopes for the future were some prophecies floating around that said one day, on the day of the Lord, when the Messiah comes and God's peace, God's shalom is restored, these prophecies hinted and hoped that symbolically Leviathan himself would be slain and his body would be served as the main course in the messianic banquet that would be the celebration. Roasted sea monster is the main course on the menu to celebrate the end of destruction, the end of death itself. And so it's not by accident that here, after the resurrection, Jesus stands and invites the disciples to a fish fry on the beach. A little hint that the destruction of chaos has begun. That the Messiah has indeed returned to accomplish redemption for all of us. And so, whoever we are invited here to this table to gather as He calls us. And we come from many different places in our lives, don't we? Some of us come to this meal with our hearts lifted high, full of gratitude for the gifts of God's grace in our lives. Thanks be to God. But some of us come to this meal with our heads hung low in shame, afraid that we might not truly be welcomed, because of the mistakes that we have made, because the worst moments of our lives, afraid like Peter of those ways that we have denied who we're called to be. Maybe some of us come to this meal with our souls worn thin by the trials of life, by the anguish and suffering of the world around us, by the pain of watching our loved ones seemingly withering away. Maybe some of us come to this meal with our minds full of wonder or astonishment or questions or doubts or uncertainties. The truth is, we all come to this meal just as we are. No longer who we were, not yet who we will be. Just as we are invited. Just as Peter was invited to come to that meal on the shore. We're invited to come to the table, leaving behind the smoldering embers of our past sins, Welcome to the new fire of forgiveness, to the feast of redemption made real for us and for all creation through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. We're called to this table, not just to be fed, but like Peter, to be sent out to feed, to continue the feast, the foretaste of which is here, the final course which will be at the heavenly banquet table, but all points in between, to continue the feast as we feed God's sheep. So friends, let us break bread together on our knees as we turn our faces to the rising sun. To Christ, our Lord and Savior, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.